Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
How's everybody doing?
Blessed.
I like that. I like the word blessed.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting how things work out. Shauna was, if you noticed, she was talking to me. She was a little apprehensive by coming up here. I said, hey. Randy was telling her the same thing. Hey, we get nervous when we come up here. Everybody does.
Yes.
But you know, it's amazing how God works because He moves you, right? He moves you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Amen? And so it's by God's grace that I'm up here. You know, I said when I came to the church, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to listen. Jeez. That was my plan. But I guess that wasn't God's plan, huh? I'm a coach, like the brother back there. I coach too. I coach girls basketball. And one of the things that I work on having them understand that it's more than just physical. It's more than just physical. A lot of it is mental. So right before each practice, I have at least one thought for the day. And this is one thought that I have for them. And then when they read it, they're like, what does that mean? Mr. Mercado, we don't know. We can memorize it, but we don't know what it means. I'm going to tie it in with the message today because I always say this is not my message. If this is my message, you might as well leave right now because you're not going to get anything out of it. The only thing that's going to have an impact is the message that comes directly from God's throne. If it's coming from Jose Mercado, it's going to go in one ear and come out the other. It's not going to have much of an impact. I don't consider myself an eloquent speaker or an intellect. When I hear Pastor Shang speak, I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
Boy, he uses high vocabulary words. I'm like, whoop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, oh man, let me look that up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
He's an amazing pastor. We are blessed to have him as our pastor. And so my thoughts are simple. I'm a simple guy. I like things to be simple. And so my message today is not going to be too profound. It could be profound. But in my mind, when I started preparing, I always tell my wife, you know, I'm going to go to the mountain like Moses. Find out what God wants me to bring to his people. And so she knows that when I'm in that mode, I just, you know, I'm just focused on that, trying to figure out what does God want me to say, you know. And so this is what God put in my heart, so I'm sharing it with you guys this morning. Hear, listen, see, look. What is the difference? And as Shauna read so eloquently this morning, the memory text, I'm going to read from the King James Version. Says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, does that make sense? To a normal mind, that wouldn't make sense. But with a mind that's filled with the Holy Spirit, it makes perfect sense. Because the world says, well, you know, if you can't see it, if you can't taste it, if you can't hear it, it does not exist. And the word of God says, that's not so. Because the things that you see are temporary. And the things you cannot see are eternal. Those are things that are going to last forever. Amen? We can go to our next slide. Okay, it says that for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. You know what hearing is? Hearing is a sense and it's an automatic sense. It does not require a conscious decision. And those of us who have children know this. Go clean your room. I hear you. Go to the room. Hasn't been cleaned. I thought you said you heard me. I did hear you. A lot of people hear, but a lot of people don't listen. Right? Listening is different from hearing. Listening is an action word, and you need to make a decision to do it. You can choose to listen to something or not. Because you can hear somebody's talk, but you might not be listening. Right? How do we know if somebody's listening? There's a what? There's a response, right? There's some action, right? Obeying is an action word, right? In order for us to obey, we have to listen. There's a lot of people that heard Jesus, but did they obey? No, because they were not what? They were not listening. They were just hearing. Oh, that was nice. I've heard many people speak that are eloquent, that are very articulate, that can express themselves really well. And then a little while later, what did they talk about? It was nice, but I can't remember what they said. But when we listen to God's word, it has an impact in our lives. It does. You cannot listen to God's word and not be changed. It's an impossibility. Now, you can hear God's word and not change. But if you're really listening, there will be a change. Amen? Next slide. We know where we first started. Well, one of the places where we started, in the Garden of Eden. We always go there for some reason. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So here we see the account of Eve. She saw the fruit. It says, to see is a verb of perception. It is a sense. It is an automatic sense and doesn't require a decision to use it. Yeah, I saw her. What did she have on? I don't know. I don't even know what she had. She had on. I'm accused of that a lot. I'm not a very observant person. So if I want to observe something, I have to really look at it. I can't just see it. I have to take the time to look at it closely to be able to remember it, right? And so we see here that Eve saw the food, took the food or the fruit, and ate it, right? Because she saw it. She didn't take time to look at it. She just saw it. Next slide. And what did the sheep do? It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. Amen. So if you and someone once, I talked about sheep. You know, the Bible talks about sheep and goats. The analogy there. It's like, well, I'm not a sheep. What are you trying to say? I'm an animal? They don't understand the analogy behind that, right? Jesus is our good shepherd, right? The greatest shepherd. And we are his sheep, right? And if we are his sheep, we're going to listen to his voice, aren't we? And he knows us. And we know him. Amen? And what does he give us? Eternal life. Can you see eternal life? No. But is it real? Yeah, it's real. We believe it, right? We're convicted that eternal life is real. And most people today will tell you, yeah, that's a pipe dream. There's no heaven. But we say otherwise, right? Because the things that are not seen are eternal. Well, the things that are seen are temporal. Amen? The great thing I like about this verse is it says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that a great thought? That once you're in God's hands, no one can come around and snatch you. The enemy can say, hey, you know, I'm going to grab you and pull you out. Can't do it. Right? When you're in God's hands, you are secure. You are safe. Right? You have eternal life. You are in his hand. Nobody can snatch you. Now, you can walk out of that hand because of choice. You say, you know what? I'm tired of being here. Nothing's happening. I've been here for 50 years and I'm still here. Nothing has changed. It's still the same. Eh? And say, oh, you know what? I'm tired. I'm just going to walk away. But God is never going to let you do that. Even if you walk away, what is he going to do? He's going to continue to call you, right? And draw you in, right? He's still going to go after you, you know? And so that's an amazing verse. Next slide, please. All right. We see someone who saw. It says, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time, he had been wanting to do what? To see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to what? See him perform some miracles. He wanted to see Jesus. Sometimes people say that. I want to see Jesus. Right? I heard a lot of good things about him. But what was the reason? What was the rationale? What was the motivation behind Herod's wanting to see Jesus? He wanted to see miracles. Say, show me a miracle. Show me a trick, God. See what you can do here. Hey, yeah, that's pretty good. Show me another one. Oh, wow, that's pretty amazing. Oh, that was nice. Well, let me go home. Yeah, it was a nice show. Right? But there was no what? There was no change. Right? Let's go to the next slide. Then Herod and his men ridiculed and mocked him. He ridiculed and mocked Jesus when he saw him and when he heard about him. Would he have done that if he had looked at Jesus or listened to Jesus? Probably not. Next slide, please. You know, Peter was a very special guy, wasn't he? So we're gonna look up Luke chapter 22. Where Peter, the account of Peter denying Christ. So Peter, chapter 22, verses 54 through 60. And I'm reading for an NIV version. I like what the pastor said, Pastor Shane said, because he's like, well, you know, just because you use the NIV doesn't mean that you are... I forgot what words he used, but some people have a hard time with the NIV, right? And I always tell people, you know what? I read the King James, and I read the NIV, and I read them both. So nobody can say, well, you just like to read the King James, or you just like to read the NIV. And, you know, it's all God's word. Amen? To me, the NIV is just modern version. Some things that are in the King James version might differ, but it's still God's word, and it's telling me, nobody can tell me that God can't touch people with whatever version you're using. Amen? Were there any versions when Jesus was in this earth? Right? There weren't. It was just Jesus telling people. Right? And so he was telling them in their own language so they could understand. And so here, Peter disowns Jesus. Verse 54. You can open up your Bibles to this passage. We can read it together. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 54. And it says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. And Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." Stop right there for a moment. This man was with him. How did she know? She's seen him, right? She saw him together. Come on. It's just like when people say, you know, they see you in church and they see you on the street. "I saw that person in church, man. Yeah, that's the person I saw in church. Well, look what they're doing. Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure if they're representing Christ the right way." Wow. You know, coming to church is a big responsibility. You come to church, people are automatically going to connect you with Christ, right? They're going to say, "Hey, that person goes to church. They should be doing this. They should be doing that." Amen? And so we have a great responsibility to our church and, more importantly, to God. Amen? People know that we're church. People at work, they tell me all the time, "Hey, you go to church, don't you?" I say, "Yeah." And they look at me like, I'm going to give you some tests, see what you do. See if you're really from church. I'm going to get under your skin a little bit and tell you a couple words you're not going to like and see if you're really from church. And I say, "Bring it on." Because I can do all things through Christ, right? He's not going to be me. It's not me up here trying to. Because people who know me really closely know, and Randy was saying this, he's an introvert. When people used to come visit us from church, we used to hide in the closet. Like, "We don't talk to me, we don't want to talk to anybody." You know? I'm a very shy person by nature. If I could spend the whole day just to myself, just not talking to anyone, I'm okay with that. But God says, "You know what, Jose? No, that's not going to happen, buddy. You ain't going to have it that easy. I'm going to throw you out there and see what you can do." It's just like, you know, and Moses had that rod, right? Give it to Aaron. To anybody else, it was just like a little stick. "Hey, man, walking around with this. It's a walking stick." Didn't realize the plans that God had, right? With that rod, you guys know. You read the story. But here somebody identified him. "Hey, that's the guy that was with him." He says, "But he said, 'Yeah, I was with Jesus.'" Did he say that? What are you saying? "Woman, I don't know him. Never heard of him." So people ask, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, well, kind of. At times I am. When nobody bothers me, when nobody gets under my skin, nobody gets on my nerves, yeah, I'm a Christian. Other than that, no, I'm not." So it's a little later. And it's amazing how God gives us so many opportunities. Amen? You know, I got to say for myself, I was not converted first time I came to church. Surprise? Came to church, sat there, and said, "Well, that old man was okay. He made us laugh a little bit, and he kind of makes some sense, but, nothing. I'm still the same." But it's amazing how God gives us opportunity after opportunity, after opportunity. So that's the God that we serve. See, if it was me, I'd say, "You know what? I gave this person too much time, man. Their grace period is up. I'm going to go in and collect. You know, I'm tired of waiting. You know, how long is it going to take? I've been giving them Bible studies. I've been talking to them. I've been inviting them to church, and still don't want to come. Not really interested. Let's go do the next one." It was a great thing God doesn't do that to us, huh? He says, "You know, I will never give up on you. Ever. I will continue to woo you." You know, I remember when I was going out with Jelena there. And the things that I did back then, you know, I'm like, wow, I did a lot of stuff. She did a lot of stuff. We were wooing each other, right? We were bringing stuff to each other. I remember she used to, I used to call her, I'm coming over. And I, when I parked in front of the house, she was by the window. Oh, he's here. I tell her, how come you don't do that anymore? You know, wait by the window for me. I get home and she's over there, it's just him. See, but God doesn't do that. God is constantly trying to woo us, right? We drift away, say, come back. Hey, remember me? Jesus, remember? Remember the time you couldn't make it and I was there for you? Right? God doesn't do that. God's an amazing God. But here we see Peter denying Christ. It says, and a little bit later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. And he said, man, I am not. Second chance. Oof. It says, about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Boy, he gave him three chances. Right? And Peter said, you know, I don't even need one chance. I need no chances. Isn't that what he said? Let's go on to the next slide. Verse 61 says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. He remembered. When did he remember? When Jesus turned and looked straight at him. Can you imagine looking Jesus straight in the eye? This is what all happened right here. When Jesus turned and looked him straight in the eye, that's where it began. If you haven't looked Jesus straight in the eye, you haven't been converted. Because when you turn and you look, and he turns and he looks, you know, they say the eyes are the what? Exactly. Boy, you can tell a lot by looking at people's eyes. You know, when I was growing up, and I was born in Puerto Rico, and we moved to Chicago when I was in third grade. But I was always taught, you don't look at adults in the eye. You look down. If you look an adult in the eye, the wrath is coming. And when I got here, guess what the teachers just tell me? Get your eyes up and look me in the eye. How dare you be disrespectful and not look me in the eye? So I was like, what should I look in the eye? My mom taught me to look at the floor. When we look Jesus in the eye, things happen. Things happen. You're not the same. You can't be the same. Now, you can't tell me that you look Jesus in the eye, and after that, you were the same. If you're the same, it's because you haven't looked Jesus in the eye. Look at all the promises that Peter made. He made a lot of promises, didn't he? Wasn't he with Jesus for 3.5 years? But yet he hadn't looked Jesus in the eye. Had he? Was he looking at the ground? Was Jesus talking to him? Because even though you're looking at the person in the eye, you're not really looking in their eye. You know, I don't know if you guys ever met someone like that that looks at you and you're like, are they looking at me or are they looking over there? Kind of doesn't look like if I move, well, they're looking like straight through me. Next slide, please. Says Jesus, who was at some distance from Peter, turned a sorrowful, reproving gaze upon him. Then the disciple remembered the words of Jesus had spoken to him in the upper chamber, and also his zealous assertion. Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. Even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you. That's what Peter said. Even if I have to die. But I always say, right now it's nice. Yeah, I feel the air right here. Ooh, this is nice. A little too cold for me, you know, I like the heat, but it's nice. We're nice seats, nice cushiony seats, right? Yeah, nice comfortable. Yes? Lighting's just right. Yeah, this is pretty good. This is nice right here. This is not a test, is it? It's just like Pastor Ronnie said, somebody walks through that door and says, hey, if you don't love Christ, whatever, I can't remember what he said, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, if you're not a Christian, get up and leave. I think Ronnie touched upon that a little bit in the lesson. And most people got up and left. That will be a true test, right? As a coach, and I've always been coaching into it, I am a coach, that's who I am. I always tell my players, because people ask me all the time, hey, how's the season going to be this year? How are your players looking? I say, I don't know. How do you know? How come you don't know? Because we haven't played a game yet. We just practice. Practicing is easy. You miss a layup, there's no consequence. Right? You make a bad pass, you made a bad pass. Hey, next time, try not to make a bad pass. But in the game, it's different. Because what happens? There's a scoreboard. People keep scoring. Say, hey, look, he missed that shot. Oh, man. Better go back and practice. I tell my girls all the time, hey, I coach 8th grade girls basketball. And I tell them, you know, every year, somebody shoots at the wrong basket. I've been coaching over 25 years. Every year, somebody shoots at the wrong basket. They tell me, no. And when it happens, it's, yeah, I told you. See, she shot the wrong basket. You're right, Mr. Mercano. Every year it happens. They shoot at the wrong basket. But because it's a scoreboard and we're keeping score, that's a true test. Right? Right now we have it easy. Right now we're nice and comfortable. You know, like the pastor said last week, you know, our clothes maybe are fitting a little tighter. I know mine are. You know? And so we're comfortable. But when the true test comes, then we'll know. Right? When our job is on the line, you know, I admire my brother right here. He stood up for God. Amen? Most people would say, you know what? God will understand if I work on the Sabbath. Especially, you know, what's a day? What's the meaning of a day? It could be any day. But when the true test comes, then we know where we are. So after the game, I say, yeah, now I know. Now we need to work on dribbling. We need to work on this. Oh, yeah, we got to get somebody else. Then I know where the girls are. Then I can assess. And when somebody asks me, you think you're ready? I say, no, we're not ready. We made 20 turnovers. We did this. Or I might say, yeah, we're ready, man. We got a good team. But we got this tall girl who can score inside. We got the girl that can dribble. She's a point guard. She can carry the team. I can tell people after the true test where we're at. And so is the true test coming? Oh, yeah. We're in the last days, people. Well, you believe it or not. Well, people say you're not in the last days. That's okay. You can say that. It doesn't change the fact that we're in the last days. Next slide, please. It says, Peter had denied the Lord even with cursing and swearing. But that look of Jesus melted Peter's heart and saved him. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Wait a minute, wasn't Peter saved? You know, people ask me that all the time. Hey, Jose, are you saved? Like, for a second, I have to think about it. Am I? Saved him. What did he do? He wept bitterly and what? Repented of his great sin and was? Wait a minute. How does that work? How does that happen? Wait a minute. I got baptized. Was not converted before I was baptized or when I came out of the baptismal? How did that work? You know, I'll tell you my experience as a young man. We had a well-meaning brother from the church came over, said, can I give you Bible studies? I said, yeah, okay. He would spend 4 hours talking to me. And after an hour, I was like, man, this guy, he's got to go. This guy talks too much. I got things to do, places to be, people to see. The next week, he was there again, 4 hours. I'm like, oh, there he comes. Oh, I don't want to hear anymore. My head's spinning. He drove me to the point where I was like, yeah. Maybe if I say that I'm ready for baptism, he'll leave me alone. So he came one time like, I'm ready to get baptized. You don't have to give me any more Bible studies. I'm ready. Just stop talking to me. And I got baptized. But you know what? I didn't feel any difference. I was still the same. I felt the same. I acted the same. Nothing had changed. And as I grew up, I came to realize it's a process. It's a process. It's a mystery, even though here it says that he was converted at that very point. For most people, it's a mystery when it happens, when that happens, when you are converted. It's a mystery. Some people it may happen in an instant. Some people it takes a lifetime. We know that. You know, I've been to churches, Seventh-day Adventist churches where I come, I walk in, I sit, I get up, I leave, I go home. Not one person has greeted me. And that's why and that's what's so great about God, you know, he puts me in that position. He says, hey, Jose, see what happened? I let that happen to you, brother, so you can see. So you can see what it feels like. So you can feel it. So when people come to your church, Jose, don't do that to them. Don't ever let anybody leave without greeting them. They can get that in the world. Right? Especially our guests. You know, my dad taught me, even though I wasn't that close to him, he taught me, and I think I mentioned this before, if a guest comes through our door, you stand. And you greet that guest. You don't stay sitting down, I'm playing video games. Sorry. I'm over here watching my favorite show. You stand, you give that guest the place they deserve. I remember a pastor, I don't know if you guys know this pastor, Pastor Alejandro Bullon. My first language is Spanish. I listened to Alejandro Bullon. He said, you know, one time I was preaching on the pulpit, and I saw a young man walk through that door. He had tattoos, piercings, a leather jacket. His hair was spiked. He came in and he sat on the last pew. And guess what the deacon said? That young man. Hey, young man, you got to go home and change. You ain't going to come like that at church. Uh-uh. No, you ain't. Go home and change. Pastor Bullon left the pulpit because the young man was already heading out. He followed that young man, brought him back, and said, you know what? They're wrong. You come to church the way you are, man. He put his arm around that young man, brought him, took him to the pulpit. Said, you ain't going to leave. Because you know what? You didn't come by your own power. People think they come to church by their own power. Yeah, at least I had to go to church. Yeah, I thought about it, and I said, yeah, I'll go to church. You don't realize what brings you to church is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one that calls you to come to church. He's the one that draws you. He's the one that makes everything fall into place. He's the one that makes everything right. Amen? Next slide, please. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Whoa, whoa, boy. Isn't that what happens when going through the world? You get sifted as wheat. And I was like, what does sifted mean? That's old language. I don't know what that means. I don't even know what it looks like. I looked it up. I'm like, oh, that's what it is, huh? They take the wheat and they beat it. You know, I think Michael Jackson only thought of that song, but you know, that was going on before. That wheat got beat. When you're on the world, you realize, hey, man, we live in a cruel world. But the only thing that's out there, you think about all the things that are happening, the only thing that's out there is evil. So think about that. Where a young man puts a bomb next to an 8-year-old. Is that evil? Man, that's evil. I went to Puerto Rico to visit my grandparents. They live in a farm. And they were going to make fried chicken. You know, it's not like right here where you go KFC's, hey, got my chicken. You got to kill the chicken. And they wanted me to do it, you know. They gave me a big knife. Cut the chicken's throat. I'm like, can't do it. I can't kill this chicken. It's looking at me. Can't do it. I couldn't even kill a chicken. And people go around killing others, innocent people. Is that the world, kind of world we're going to live in? I don't. I want to go to a better place, right? Where the lion's going to play with the lamb. Where the children's going to play with the serpents, right? Hey, look at the cobra, man. I always want to pick up a cobra. I was too afraid to do it. But in heaven, it's going to be different, right? Everything's going to be perfect. Amen? He says, he wanted to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not. Does Jesus pray for us? Oh, the pastor talked about it a little bit. Anyway, Jesus prays for you, man. That's got something's going to happen. Don't you think? Because we know that Jesus is our advocate. He's our defender. He's our everything. He wants us to be with him. Doesn't he? Amen. It says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Wow. Man, oh man, if you're converted, what happens? Huh? You change? What else? You share, right? That's why people, we got some awesome people here in this church. They do things for others. They strengthen others, right? Because they have been converted. Unless you're converted, can you touch people's lives? When you're converted, you can help others. That's your ministry, right? Whichever it might be, music, teaching, preaching, giving Bible studies. Man, oh man, when you're converted, they call that being on fire. When you're on fire, okay, not even the fire department to put you out. Right? Flame on. I always think of that Fantastic Four, right? Flame on. Man, when you're on, boy, you can do great things. Boy, if people are cold, you can bring some warmth, right? Oh, you need a marshmallow? Marshmallows, here we go. Right here. Okay. Next slide, please. Peter had been uninhibited, impulsive, guided by feelings, always ready to correct others. Well, you're wrong. Rough, and at times brave, but at times cowardly. At times wise, and at times foolish. A man of doubt, and a man of faith. Boy, that sounds like a confused guy. But the converted Peter was very different. He retained his former fervor. You know, people think that just because you're converted, you're supposed to be like, not talk to anybody, you know. Man, there's nothing wrong with having fervor, is there? There's nothing wrong with shouting and being on fire for God, praising Him, giving the glory, right? He retained his former fervor, but the grace of Christ regulated his zeal. Huh? See how we got the thermostat regulates the temperature. Man, it's getting too cold right here now. Warm it up. The grace of Christ is what regulates our zeal. We know where to go. The Holy Spirit tells us what to say. The Holy Spirit tells us what not to say. And when not to say anything at all. People sometimes ask me that, Jose, how come you say anything? He told you this and he told you that. I wasn't led by the Holy Spirit to say anything. How could I say anything? I was impressed to stay quiet. So I stayed quiet. Because you know that sometimes when you say something without the Holy Spirit, people's feelings get hurt. Right? I'm sure when Jesus was telling to his people or talking to anyone, boy, I could just imagine his voice. Man, that must have been the most beautiful tone that could ever be heard. He probably spoke with tears in his eyes. Amen? And that's how he speaks to us, with tears in his eyes. You know, they say that babies, when they're born, they cry, but no tears come out. I just found that out. I didn't know that. Maybe because our babies didn't cry that much. But then about four weeks or so, then the tears starts coming, right? And I know I've said this before, but one of my favorite preachers is Walter L. Pearson Jr. I don't know if you know who he is. If you don't know, look him up. Yeah. Hey, guys, awesome. But he gave a sermon about tears. You know how they say crocodile tears? Some people cry and they don't really feel it. Just crocodile tears. He talked about the components in the tears are different. When they're genuine, the elements in the tears, when they analyze them, are different than when they're not. You know, that's one of the things growing up that I struggled with. I struggled with the people that were up here telling me about Jesus' love. And then when we played basketball, it was a different story. That love went out the window. It was like, get that stuff out of here, and they'll step on you again. I struggled with that. But then I realized that, hey, man, I made a mistake. I'm looking at my eyes are looking at the wrong thing. I shouldn't be looking at people, right? When we look at people, we're always going to be disappointed. Don't look at me, because I'm probably worse than you are. And the only reason God has me up here, I don't know. I don't know why he has me up here, but he has me up here for a reason. He says he was no longer impetuous, self-confident, and self-exalted, but calm and teachable. Desire of ages. Again, when I coach, my hardest thing is tryouts. Because I got to cut somebody. I only got 15 spots, and I got 50 people trying out. And when it's time to cut somebody, I'm like, oh, who should I let go? They're going to be heartbroken. One of the things I look at is, are they coachable? They might not be the greatest at shooting a basketball, dribbling, or anything like that. But if they're coachable or teachable, I know they have potential. I can see where they can end up. I can see where they can, what they can achieve. And that's why God wants us to be teachable. Right? Because he knows, hey, this person's teachable. Man, oh man, what great things are going to be accomplished. Amen? Next slide, please. And so here we see. Hear, listen, see, look. What is the difference? It's interesting that Sean, I was telling me, what is that? Wait, I don't understand this. What does that mean? This verse. It's because we look at the things, we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Augustine, one of the theological fathers of the Protestant Reformation, had a very perceptive definition. Listen to this. He said, "For anything whatsoever be its excellence, if it's changeable, does not truly exist." If it's changeable, it doesn't truly exist. For there is no true existence whenever non-existence has a place. So if something's changeable, hey guys, man, I'm getting old. Jeez. Kids always ask me the same question. Hey, Mr. Mercado, can you dunk? I say, well, I can dunk a donut into a coffee. That's as far as I can go right now. My knees are shot. You know, I have a torn meniscus, among other things, that don't allow me to jump up as high as I could. I don't want to tell them I'm old, you know. So my kids tell me that all the time. Hey, you're an old man. It's interesting how you evolve, you know. Because my son, when he was younger, he used to call me big guy. Hey, big guy, can we go play? He got to the point where he calls me old man now. Like, old man, you want to go play? I'm like, no, I can't play outside, man. Can't play in the cement. I can only play, you know, indoors. And that is like that. It, you know, afterwards, like, my knees are hurting. And it's like, forget it. I'm going to go play. But we dwell in the unseen. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The world is the opposite. The world walks by what? Sight. When they look at you, uh-oh. You know, one interesting thing that happened to me, and I don't want to take too much time, but I don't know if you guys remember Souls West, those young men and women that went out. And so I was going out with them one time, and they said, yeah, Jose, maybe you should stand over there while I talk. I said, why? Because you look kind of intimidating. I was like, what? What do you mean? Does my inner city show? I grew up in the inner city of Chicago, but I thought I changed a little bit. So no, not so much the inside, but I'm talking about the outside. You look a little mean. I say, okay. So I would stand back, and I never thought of myself that way, of looking intimidating. I don't know. That's what this person thought, right? But we are in the realm of the unseen. Amen. My prayer for us, the church, and for every one of us, is to be able to share this very important message. That for each and every one of us, if we haven't done it already, to take a look at Jesus. Turn and look, and you'll see. You'll see everything you need to see just by looking at his eyes. You know, my mom passed away a few years ago. And as I think about it, she was a rock in our family, you know. And all you had to do was look into her eyes, and you could tell what she was thinking. And she got to the point where she started losing her eyesight. And maybe that's why I kind of was impressed to bring this up, because my eyesight's getting worse. I get bigger glasses. But she was losing her eyesight as she got older. And I couldn't look into her eyes the way I used to.
you know? Because I could look into her eyes and I could say, hey, mom, even though there's 8 of us and we're on welfare, I know we're going to make it. Just that, she was just telling me that with her eyes. Even though, you know, we're going to spend a year in Chicago with no heat and use the wall to write on the ice, we're going to make it. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times, which happens often, if we look at Jesus' eyes, man, oh man, that love is there. Amen. I knew my mom loved me. That was enough. I might have gone hungry a few times, but you know what? In my mind, when I looked into my mom's eyes, I said, we're going to be all right. I could just read her eyes. We're going to be all right. And Jesus is telling you that today. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter. Well, you're going to tell me the God who created the universe and made man out of dust can't solve your problem? If that's the case, you know what? I'm going home right now. That's what I always tell people. People don't give God the credit that he deserves and the glory and the honor that he deserves. Boy, oh boy, everything's a test. Are you going to deny Christ? Or are you going to be faithful? The Israelites, when they were going to the wilderness and they decided to build that golden calf. Big mistake, right? But even amidst that, there was a small group who said, I don't care if you guys like dancing. I don't care if you guys like the big, loud music. I don't care if you do whatever you want to do over there, worshiping that idol. We're going to be over here. We're going to be having a prayer meeting over here. We're going to be having church over here on this side. We're going to be faithful to God. Amen? And because they were faithful to God, God said, you know what, Levites, I'm going to put you in charge of the sanctuary. You're going to be my priest and my high priest. That's the way it's going to work. Because you show me. You demonstrate it. It's an action word. Right? You demonstrate it. That you love me. You know, that's one of the things that my mom always said, you love me, you're gonna obey what I say. And growing up, she had Parkinson's early on in life, I told some of you, and she couldn't supervise us. And we would roam the streets. And you know, the streets, a lot of bad stuff out there. I mean, I could go on and on about stuff we did when we were on the streets. It wasn't good. And my mom would punish us. Had me kneel on the grater. Man, would I kneel on that? I was like, oh, my knees. That was painful. Because you don't die. You're just in pain. Would have been easier for her to just, come on, mom. Put us the end to the suffering. Put me out of my misery. She said, no, get in there. 30 more minutes. And when I was growing up, I always thought, when she did that, man, my mom is mean. She hates me. That was my thought process. But when I got older, I understood. Hey, she did that because she loved me, man. She didn't want me to continue to do the things that I was doing. And so she had to do something. And when she got older, I would tell her, mom. She would tell me, man, I did a lot of bad things to you guys. I said, no, mom, you didn't. You had to do that. Because of love. Your motivation was love. And you didn't want us to end up like those guys that end up in gangs and in jail and dead. You wanted something better for us. And sometimes God allows things to happen to us. And if we know God, we've looked in Jesus' eyes. We say, no, Jesus, you love me. You're letting me go through this so I can learn something. You're not punishing me. This pain that I'm going through is not initiated by you. It's not. You're allowing me to go through this so I can learn something. Tell me what you want me to learn. And maybe today I'm not going to learn it. Just like when I was growing up, when I was young, I didn't learn it. I was like, my mom is mean. Man, oh man, she's mean. She hits me with a stick. She hits me with a shoe. anything she can grab. But as I got older, as I matured as a person, and as mature as Christians, we understand that God allows things to happen for us to turn and put our eyes on Him. And if we do that, we'll know. We'll know without a doubt. So people say, do you know there's a heaven? I know, man. I can't prove it. I can't bring it to you. Hey, here's heaven. See? This is how it looks. I cannot do that. But I know it's true. I am convicted of it. And nobody can tell me otherwise. And so when we look at Jesus and we listen to His voice, mighty things happen. You know, there's pews that are empty here. Man, oh man. I always tell people, boy, we would have to build a second church. We would. We wouldn't have room for people. People say, hey man, can I come? No, yeah, no room. We're building another one on that side by the park. If people will look at Jesus and listen to His voice, mighty things are going to happen. And my prayer for us today, and I include myself in this, is that we'll take time to do that. We'll take time to look at Jesus and listen to His voice. And everything will be okay. It says, like the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And amen.